You're listening to Wins Above Fantasy, part of the Pitcherless Podcast Network with Van Burnett and Steve Gisuelli.
Welcome back, everybody. It is Wins Above Fantasy, episode 90. Milestone one there, Steve, and it's going to be a great show talking ADP values we love, our favorite draft values, and it's also momentous because here on Thursday, March 9th, we are officially 3 weeks away from MLB opening day. Very exciting. That, unfortunately, is also when I'm boarding a plane for India, so I'll miss all the early round editions, Steve. That'll be great, but thank you guys all for tuning in. You guys can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I'm at Van_verified, and Steve is at Stav8818. Steve, I know we're in the heart of draft season, wrapping up TGFBI. We got Razzball kind of kicking off, picking up where things left off there. And home league drafts are approaching as well, which is always exciting, but it's going to be a great show. Kind of a summary show of a lot of the stuff we've been talking about all offseason, because these are the guys we love in terms of where they're going on ADP. So I'm pumped to get into it, man. How's it going out there?
Yeah, it's exciting. I just remember last week in our show kind of talking about spring training and it being so early and it being like, it's none of this really matters yet. And even if guys' velo is down, like they're still building up. And it's funny because now it's like, oh crap, we're 3 weeks away from real games. So like it's go time. Like, it sneaks up on you so quick. It's like literally been a week and now I'm sitting here like, oh boy, like, this is it. And especially with the World Baseball Classic, right? Like that kicks off games are going on, but I think this weekend is like this Saturday is like where there's just games like all day, which is cool. There was a bunch of exhibition games, today, Wednesday, as we record this. It's exciting. Like there's meaningful baseball. There's a best on best tournament happening right now, which is awesome. It's exciting stuff. Yeah. I'm almost done with TGFBI. Not quite. I know you finished up. I have my turf league, which is part of that earth, universe, this weekend. So, yeah. another NFBC draft, similar to TGFBI and the On the Wire League that I've been talking about. So exciting. And then the 25th is my big one, my home league. So fully entrenched in draft season and all about it.
Yeah, and it's also, bracket season, Steve. And we'd be remiss not to mention, because the timing aligns so well with our show dropping today, you guys can go out and give us a vote in the fantasy baseball brackets. Last year, we pulled a nice little upset off against Hacks and Jacks, a little friendly fire there with the Pitcherless Pod Network as a 9 seed. And we got rewarded with a lower seed this year, Steve. So we need some help from the listeners because we got Bubba and the Bat Flips as a powerhouse 2 seed we're going up against. And, jokes aside, Chris that runs this, the Twitter handle is at baseballpods. But Chris does a great job with it. He was joking with us the other day when we were talking to him. But, yeah, you guys should go out, check out the brackets. It's really cool to just see the fantasy industry at a glance and get some exposure there. But no question, Steve, we're not above a little shameless plug here, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, let's make it interesting at least as a 15 seed. We won around last year, which was nice. So it'll be cool to be a Cinderella story, even to do it as a 15 seed. But just what Chris does to the goal of this is to spread the exposure of all these awesome podcasts that everyone does, and he does a great job doing that. So just to be even in the bracket, I think is an honor. So. That being said, let's try and pull an upset. So yeah, go out and vote.
That would be huge. And, Steve, the rundown here is huge. So we should dive in head first. Overall on the format of the show, we're pretty much looking at ADP values, right? So there's a lot of ways you can slice and dice that, but do you want to kind of run down how we're going to go about some of these names? And I know for some buckets, we got a couple, some we just have one we're going to focus on. So I think we can be a little loose, but why don't you give the listeners kind of the outline, if you will, on the ADP values.
Yeah. I think that it's a good way to identify names that you want to target, right? Because everyone talks about sleepers, and then sleepers become wide awake sleepers, and then therefore they're no longer sleepers because they shoot up draft boards. So I think that it's the goal that everyone wants to achieve. Like, you want to select a pick that produces more value, or you want to take someone at a pick that produces more value than the pick that you used, right? Mm-hmm. You want to have excess and surplus value. That's the goal of everyone's draft. So guys that we think that we should target, and guys that are being undervalued that we see as producing more value. And the fun thing about that is, like, you don't have to be, you could do that at any pick range, right? Like, you could think Juan Soto at pick 7 is a value, right? Like, wherever. Exactly. So yeah. That's why I think it's a fun exercise to do, because you can find this everywhere. It doesn't have to be a sleeper that is post pick 150 or something like that. We could go through the draft board and divide it into sections as we did, and try and find guys that are going to produce what you need to win your league, and that's getting more than what you pay for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think important context for us to kind of note throughout the show is, you know, the format of your league should factor into this quite a bit. If it's roto, 5x5, there's going to be a little bit different slant.
Even the depth of your league, right? Like, what's the waiver wire like? Yeah, exactly.
Right. Is it weekly? A streaky guy might not be good, or, you know, people have talked about average and how, in a week-to-week format, average can be kind of a volatile thing to bank on. What's the difference between 240 and 270 in a given week? So things of that nature we can mention. But what's interesting, Steve, when I was going through my list, and, you know, I completely crashed and burned on my chalkboard picks last year. So, I'll take a small victory lap since October, November, because we did a similar show. We talk in the off season about guys we like and everything. There are a lot of names that you and I had that weren't necessarily all over the industry, and those names have shot up to where I almost wrote down a few names, and I was like, they've already moved up so much. So I might name drop a couple of those, but I think we got to be a little mindful with our ADP range being in the past month of just how far those guys have moved, because, you know, at some point a value stops being a value when you keep scooting those guys up. So we could talk about all that good stuff. Are you ready to just jump in, Steve?
Yeah, let's do it.
Nice. Well, why don't you start us off? We're leading off with the pick 1 to 50 range. So these are really the first, you know, 3-4 rounds of your draft, depending on league size. And Steve, you can start off, and then I'll kind of circle up after that.
So here's one that kind of is right to my point as to values can be anywhere. My first draft value that I love is Rafael Devers. He's currently at pick 20, or the 22nd overall player at NFBC. We filtered from all drafts from Feb 8th to March 8th, so that's exactly a month back from today, Wednesday, when we're recording this. So I just find it easy, maybe because I had a lot of shares of Devers last year and saw it happen in real time. Like, he got hurt. He had a hamstring injury that he spent about 2 weeks on the IL and came back and was just not the same player. Before that, he was having, you know, one of the quintessential best Rafael Devers seasons that he ever had. And it is clear in the splits. In the first half, in 377 plate appearances, he hit .324. He had 22 homers, was just doing everything that you expected Rafael Devers to do. In the second half, he hit .250 and just 5 home runs. So the average floor that you expect from Devers was just completely gone, and then the power was just completely evaporated. It was so clear that this guy was battling an injury, and because of that, now we're getting basically like a 10-pick discount at least. I know last year he was around the turn of drafts, so around pick like 12 to 15 was where Devers was going. And on top of that, it's probably what we've discussed most this offseason, it is by far the hardest position to draft. Like, if you don't get one of the top five third basemans, you're in trouble. You need to either get really lucky or, you know, find something that hits that the rest of us don't know about. Because if you just look at the ADP for third baseman, there's a cliff, and there's a cliff for the reason. A lot of these guys, you know, don't have this dual eligibility anymore as far as third base goes. You know, there's some guys that had it in the past that no longer are eligible there. So it's tough. It's tough. So to get a guy who I think is a first rounder, at a second round price, I know it's only a 10 pick discount, but it's still a very good discount in my mind. Like Austin Riley's going one pick before him. I think I'd take Rafael Devers every day there, just because the track record, the concerns that we've had about about Riley's play discipline in the very recent past. So I'm all in at Devers at pick 22.
Yeah, I love it, Steve. I know you and I both grabbed Devers in our Raz Slam separate mm-hmm. leagues. No convincing needed here. I think another thing to point out with Devers is, as a lefty hitter, he also gets shifted on, or was shifted on in the past. He hit 333 in that first half period you were talking about when he was not shifted on. So, you know, obviously we don't want to blow it out of proportion, but I think that's another thing that could help Devers. And then the health. I mean, prior to last season, if you look at the three seasons prior to that, including the shortened year, pretty much was on the field like 95% of the time. So he's usually, you know, an image of durability. So
yeah, and maybe that hurt last year because he didn't really miss that much time. He played, you know, most of the season. It was just the fact that he was playing pretty hurt,
dealing with a hamstring. Yeah.
So
do you think the Red Sox depleted offense will have an impact on counting stats at all with Devers? That might be the one thing that's
maybe worse, I think that, you know, their offense, their team wasn't that great last year, and he still had 84 runs and 88 RBIs.
Fair. And not a lot of games. Yeah.
And just 550. He still got 555 at bats, 614 plate appearances. So yeah. Missed 20 games. I guess he just, you know, plays so much otherwise and bats so high in the lineup that it didn't have as big of an impact on him. But, you know, Bogarts is a big loss, but they added some pieces there that, you know, still could be okay.
Yoshida,
so, yeah. Exactly. So I'm not too concerned about it, but, you know, the fact that he only hit 5 home runs in the second half and still finished with 27, that tells me everything that I need to know.
Yep. No, I love it, Steve. I'm very much in on Devers. And, I think just to shore up third base, we've been talking about it, like you said, so I couldn't agree more. In my first 50 picks value here, another guy I believe you are high on as well, Steve, so don't expect arguments.
But yeah, I was going to pick this one if you didn't, so yeah.
Mr. Matt Olson, and that is with his ADP scooting up as well, because it was around, I think, 48, 50, and now it's at ADP of 41. But I'm in on Matt Olson, man. And for the listeners, if you missed it last year, the average came down. He only hit 240, 34 home runs, though, and 190 runs plus RBIs in his first year for the Braves. So we talk a lot about, you know, giving people a little bit of a pass when they're pressing on a new team. And he might have been, you know, facing some of that when you look at, like, his strikeout rate, all the gains that he had made in 2021, where he had a 17% strikeout rate. That was what the jaw dropper was in 2021. It reverted a little bit to 24% last year. Honestly, you'll still take that K rate with Olson, just with his raw power. But the average was the gap with a 240 average after posting a 271 batting average the year before. So 30-point drop there. But speaking on the shift, Matt Olson was shifted 80% of his plate appearances last year. So this is another guy that we should see that average climb up a little bit just from the shift alone. On top of that, you know, the BABIP was a little abnormal. He hits the ball so hard. I just really think that this guy is more of like a 255 hitter. And other things that he had changed last year or improved on, the barrel rate was actually higher than 2021 and in 2020. So, you know, a guy who hit, I think it was 39 homers is improving the barrel rate. And, you know, this, I mean, when you put it all together and look at the first base landscape, after Olsen, you wait about 50 picks to get to Jose Abreu or Vinny Pasquantino. Now, I love Vinny P in a points league where his like 14% walk rate gets there. I actually love him in general, but just to put it into perspective, on the auction calculators on FanGraphs, the dollar value from Matt Olsen to Abreu, who's right after him, goes from $23 down to $11. So that just underlines how big the cliff is based on projections. And another thing is Olsen is absolutely mashing right now in spring training. 3 homers, 1,700 OPS. I know we don't want to overreact to spring training, but that's what I love to see for a guy who's in year two. In my opinion, the best offense in the league, batting in between Acuna and Austin Riley. It's his age 28 season, which is power prime. I see Olsen having a massive year, man. I mean, I think in his sleep, we're talking 255, 35, and 190 runs plus RBIs. But I think there's a little bit of upside on the average, which we've seen as recently as the year before last. And I think he could go out and hit 40 homers. So I love Olsen here. I think it's a safe pick. I think it offers some ceiling. And I think he's closer to that first base tier in front of him with like Goldie and everybody. And that's a great tier. I don't say that lightly. I think he's closer to that group than what follows after him. So love, love, love Olsen here. I already have a share in TGFBI, but I reached, by the way, and I plan to have more. So thoughts on Olsen, Steve?
I think an ideal round like 2-3 turn for me is Devers and Olsen. Like your corners squared away. Their floors are just so high. I think we saw the floor for both of them last year, and it was still really good, right? Like, if that's the floor for these guys, sign me up. I think it's a quintessential issue that we talk about new year with the new team. It was the worst O swing of his career at 33% for Matt Olsen last year, so he chased more than ever. But despite that, it was the best hard hit of rate since 2018 in Oakland, the highest max exit velocity of his career. Like you said, the barrel rate was, you know, really good. Again, the best since 2019 there. I see no reason why you can't pencil in a batting average improvement because of the shift and how hard he hits the ball, and just a regression to the norm for his power skills. So you don't have to do much convincing with Matt Olsen for me. I love it, and I'm, you know, he's like my number one first baseman target. I think it's a great spot to take him, even with his ADP creeping up closer to 40.
Yeah, and just like names going right in front of him in terms of hitters. I mean, there's like Jazz Chisholm, Randy Arozarena. I think I'd take him in front of both of those guys. I think he kind of moves all the way up to
so much more volatility with a lot of the other guys. I know they steal bases, and that's why they're there. But Olsen just seems like such a rock.
Yeah, I think he goes up for me around like Lindor and Simeon, right around like ADP 31. So I think there's still room there because, you know, with the spring training he's having, that ADP might continue to climb. But love Devers, love Olsen, and yeah, you said it. That pairing for the corners would be massive. So we will get to 50 to 100 and talk about some more guys, but we are going to take our first ad break and we'll be right back. All right, so Steve, you're back up, 50 to 100. Feel free to hit on a guy, or if you want to breeze through a couple, the floor is yours.
I'm really cheating here because his ADP, I think, is exactly at 100. But I can't go an ADP value show without mentioning my boy George Kirby. Loved him last year. Think there's going to be another step forward this year as he tweaks that slider and continues to improve and make that a strikeout pitch. He has 6 pitches listed on Baseball Savant, which is always cool to see. But, you know, Kirby, what Kirby did last year was really without a true breaking ball strikeout pitch. I know it got better towards the end of the year, but he did a lot of what he did because his fastball was so good. It allowed just a .221 batting average against. It had a 30% strikeout percentage, a .208 batting average. So really, really good stuff for the fastball. But what was missing was that true put-away pitch. The fastball actually had the highest whiff percentage for any pitch, which is crazy, right? You never see that for really any pitcher, like no matter how bad – you know, they are like, you know, you get your most whiffs with breaking stuff. So there's been pieces in the offseason that he is tinkering with that slider. He added in a sinker, I believe, at times to get a lot of called strikes that led to, his big run in August and September. So I really think that this guy is just one slider tweak away from becoming a fantasy ace. And we say that pick 100 is a sweet spot to be picking starters. I think George Kirby is the pitcher to be picking in that sweet spot.
You're music to my ears right now, Steve, because Kirby is another guy that I grabbed in TGFBI, so love to hear it. You know, the Mariners let their starters go, and that's, I think, an encouraging thing. Right now, you know, in addition to everything you said, Steve, because he had a strikeout per inning last year, but if the slider evolves and he's got more swing and miss, I think he could really rack up some numbers because projections have him at like 145 innings after pitching 130 last year. But if you go over to Logan Gilbert, who's similarly, you know, basically a pitching prospect they were trying to ease in and protect long term. Gilbert had 119 innings in 2021, so 11 less than Kirby did last year. And then this past season, they ramped Logan Gilbert all the way from 119 innings up to 185. So if, you know, they're kind of treating Kirby in the same manner, I don't know that we can bank on 180, but I think 160, 170 to me is not out of the question. I mean, like, this is what the Mariners do, and this is the window when they're trying to push. So I love Kirby. I think the upside lies with the volume. There's a super high floor, even as young as he is, with the command. Just having a 4.1% walk rate last year is ridiculous. So, yeah, I think Kirby is a great name there. And like you said, it's in that sweet spot of starting pitchers where I think you're fine if he's your SP2, but I think you're in great shape if he's your SP3. So love the call there with Kirby, and again, love the confirmation on my TGFBI staff. So into it.
Yeah, to close out with Kirby on the slider, the PLV was 5.33, and the league average on that is 5.11. So a pitch that, you know, a lot of guys are good at in the slider, right? He was still above average with it based on PLV. So, you know, that shows just how good he is even without, you know, the pure whiff slider that he has. It was still a good pitch overall, but I think it can get better as he's been working on in the offseason, as there's been several reports. So I like Kirby a lot.
For sure. Okay, so moving to a guy I've been talking about, we've been talking about as an industry all offseason, but I can't let the hype fade on Vinny Pasquantino. And, you know, surprisingly, his ADP has actually kind of normalized, basically coming up on the holidays, his ADP was down at about 87, and now Pasquantino is actually at 93. On the ADP, and I think this is a value. Now, there is a note that Vinny P skyrockets if we're talking a points league because of the walk rate, and the plus on his batting average, if you're not getting credit for walks, it kind of hurts you a little bit because he walks so much that that good average isn't going to impact your stats as much if you're in like a 5x5 roto, which might be factoring in for his ADP. But I still think where a lot of projections have him around 280 and like 20 homers. And I know we talked on the PLV show with Kyle Bland that that's kind of how he looked based on his pitch level value stats from last year. I think what we're overlooking is that that's what we saw last year in 72 games when he had a really slow start. But I don't think that's the real Vinny Pasquantino. His ISO last year in that sample was a 155. Through the minors, he has always been a 250 ISO guy. Like, he is a slugger when he gets dialed in. His homer to fly ball ratio was 11% last year. It's usually in the upper teens. I saw him launch one in spring training the other day, and I was like, that looks like raw power, real power. And he was ninth in the league last year in hard contact rate. So if it's a small tweak from elevating, you know, and maybe he'll take singles and accept that he's kind of a contact hitter. But I think he's going to find his way closer to 25, 30, and maybe 30 plus homers. And if he can do that with like a 290 batting average, like, look out. This, I mean, he's still in the Royals lineup, but they're getting better. He was 11th in the league in strikeout rate last year. 11th in the league with those tools as like a power contact guy. I still think at pick 93, in my opinion, I've seen enough from Vinny Pasquantino to think that this is the last year you're going to get him here. Every year from here on in, he's going to be a top 50 guy. And I think you're looking at a discount right now. So I know it's kind of in a funny way of a vanilla one because he's such an exciting player, but it's vanilla because everyone knows that Vinny P is a big name. But, you know, you can look up and down the stat sheet. He was second in the league in expected batting average last year. Like, this guy has a really unique, almost triple crown skill set if he can tap into the power a bit more. So I love Pasquantino, and I still think he's a great value here, especially in points leagues. Double everything I just said in points leagues. But, Steve, I actually don't have a share to date in my few drafts that I've had, but hoping to change that soon. What are your thoughts on Pasquantino at 93?
I think that his power is being underrated because you just look at, you know, a decent sized sample from last year. You see an 8.8 barrel rate, but like you said, a lot of that came from the first month and a half where he just struggled with just pounding everything into the ground, right? He had 11.1% fly ball homer on the fly ball ratio last year. He's never had lower than 14.4% at any stop in the minors. So I just don't think that Vinny Pasquantino is an 8.8% barrel rate guy and an 11% homer on the fly ball rate guy. I think it's more closer to 10 to 12% and just, you know, yep, a much higher homer on the fly ball ratio, just looking at the guy and seeing what he can do to baseballs. And honestly, maybe the fact that he does have such good bat to ball skills and a hit tool that, and you know, the strikeout to walk ratio, maybe, you know, the narrative is sort of forming that he isn't this power hitter. I know also the fact that he plays his home games at Kauffman Stadium isn't great. So I think that there is just a decent underestimating of his power by the entire market. So, you know, he had 18 home runs at AAA in 73 games before coming up last year. So that was good enough for an ISO of 284. Yeah, his ISOs at every stop in the minors were much, much higher than the 155. Like, at minimum, this guy's a 200 ISO guy. Yeah. And if he's going to hit close to 300, that's close to a 500 slug, which is, you know, chef's kiss.
Well, get ready, because we're going to see him for Team Italy in the World Baseball Classic. But in the four games he did have in spring training, 444 average, a homer, four RBIs, 1,300 OPS. So, yeah, I'm all systems go for Vinny P. You know, and again, shockingly,
you gotta get shares because you followed that account. Like, is Vinny P up? You dropped him just before he came up.
I know.
You gotta get some shares.
This is like this is my podcast share of Vinny P, but I need some actual ones.
All right. I think we're running back the podcast league again this year. I think we'll make a promise that we have to draft him onto the Wins Above Fantasy team.
It's gotta be done. So, all right. So Steve, anybody else you wanted to mention or hit on in this range?
I think we could head right to the next.
Okay, let's jump in. So post 100 to pick 200, who are you circling in this range?
So this is a name that's come up to me. I think SP streamer Michael Simeone has been tweeting about him. I know Pitching Ninja loves him and is always putting up GIFs, especially after his strikeouts and the things that he does. It's Lance Lynn. I think there is a reason why he's going so late in drafts. He's around pick, I swear I have it up.
Like 140, 150. 140,
yeah. He is going at 135. 138 ADP, 135th player off the board. I think it's ageism and just the fact that he wasn't great for the first, half of his starts last year. I know he started injured. But the first 60 innings or so were pretty bad. The overall line didn't look great last year, too. Just a 3.99 ERA. All the ERA estimators were much better. But I think that it was easy to miss what Lance Lynn did in the second half. Once he got right, he had a 2.52 ERA. And a 26% strikeout rate and just a 6% walk rate. Sorry, a 3% walk rate, 26% strikeout rate, 3% walk rate. So much similar to the Lance Lynn that we've come to know and love over the last few years, where he's become like a borderline SP1, like as good as you get SP2 sort of thing. Maybe that's a little bit of a high end for Lynn, but he's been really, really solid. And I think the fact that, he's old, fat, and didn't have a great start after people held on to him on their IL this start last year, that's a recipe for you falling in drafts and therefore being a value. And no offense to Lance Lynn, I know he's made jokes about his body type there. We are not a body shaming podcast whatsoever. I love Lance Lynn for all that he is in every single way. So I think that Lance Lynn is a great value. I think that he can definitely produce, top 30-ish starting pitcher value, and he's going, I think, pretty far outside there. I'm filtering it on just pitchers and looking where Lynn is. So this is going to include some relievers, but he's being drafted as a 51st pitcher off the board. I don't think there's going to be 50 pitchers better than Lance Lynn this year.
No, I don't think so. I was high on him last off season as well, and it's just for 3 years he looked the same coming into last year. So I think it's too soon to say that this is like a new Lance Lynn. And
he was the same in the second half. Right.
Yeah, so you're literally talking about like 7/8 of his past 4 years have looked like an SP2 pretty much. Mm-hmm, and I mean, he was being drafted in like the, top 60 overall players 12 months ago. So, yeah, I think I totally agree. More soft analysis, but, being closer to Chicago, like the White Sox had a shadow over them last year. I know everyone knows
everything
that.
Everything went wrong.
Truly like anything and everything. So I think with new manager, new vibes, I think that not only is a good player to count on a bounce back, but I love the price at 138 ADP.
Our boy Rich is all over the White Sox as a bounce back team this year. Talking just futures with him last week. So,
hey, I'm going to be out in Vegas if Rich wants to, have me hit up Caesars for him or something. I'm just saying. Okay, well, this is the range, Steve, where hold on to your seat because I can't believe I'm even saying this, but every part of me wanted to say Lars Nootbaar is my guy in this range because I love Noot and we love Noot and we reached drastically for our OBP Dynasty League for Noot. But if we're not talking OBP, I got to say that the helium is getting a little out of control with Noot. And I think it's A, the industry loves him. B, outfield is so thin that there's a position jump there. But when we talked about Nootbaar like 2 months ago, that was in an ADP of 225. He's already jumped 50 spots.
Wow. Yeah.
And I know there was a lot to be excited about. His barrel rate jumped from 4% in 21 to 12% last year. There was all the driveline stuff, the bat speed. Like, I'm still super excited about Noot. However, a little bit of cold water on it. His PLV power stats look a little bit low, which was all from last year. I think that crowded outfield is going to be a little bit of a headache.
That's what I was going to say. Like, this is a 50-pick jump without, like, a full-time confirmed role.
I think at the most, and unless they make a trade, at the most, Nootbaar will play 4 out of 5 games. And then I think they're going to cycle, like, a Donovan, Yepes, Walker's obviously forced his way into that discussion, which is super exciting. I just think now when I look at the ADP landscape, I'm a little worried he looks a lot like a Joey Meneses with a little bit more speed who's going like 20, 30 picks later. So, I just couldn't put Noot on this list because I think, you know, unlike Vinny P, where it's like I still love the price, like an ADP of 175 in a 5x5 league, like there is a chance that Nootbaar just from volume is like a 265, you know, 20 homer but no more and 5 steals and like, I just don't know. I don't know where they're going to have him in the order. I love it as a boom bust pick. I love it in points or an OBP league, but it's getting a little pricey.
I guess another thing about value is, or another way to look at it, maybe we should hit on this in the top of the show, but can you find similar production at a later price, right? Like, I think that Joey Meneses example, I was actually going to put him on as one of mine, but we could talk about him here. Like, is that like an older, unsexy version of Lars Nootbaar on the Nationals? Just, you know, I don't know. I know there's a lot of questions with Meneses too, but a lot under the hood looks pretty good. It doesn't look like a, you know,
doesn't look like a fluke. He's in the heart of the order.
I'm trying to think who's the comparison from 2021 for Nootbaar, like just an older veteran who came up and was kind of like a Patrick Wisdom or something like that, you know, or Frank Schwindel is the example. I think that's Derek Van Riper and Saras have used, I don't think Meneses is that. So, you know, is that a way to get the similar production without having to pay for the market hype of a guy that everyone is in on? So I think that is a way to find value too. And I think it's hard too, because it's hard not to ride the momentum of the market and go for that ooh pick and the name everybody wants, but it might not be the way to find value.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Oscar Gonzalez is a good play 20, 30 picks back as well. Like, it's not a terrible spot to grab like an outfielder 3 or 4. And again, I love Noot. I think as long as you're set up to where you can afford that is, you know, you're paying for the upside there. So just be prepared to pick 175 for Noot. All that to say, he is not my pick on 100 to 200. Who I'm going with, Steve, is Jeffrey Springs at pick 172. Another guy who I grabbed in TGFBI. I know we talked with Nick Pollock on our PLV episode. You guys got to tune into that if you missed it, but PLV model loves Jeffrey Springs, and a lot of it's the changeup. But last year, I mean, coming from the bullpen, last year he got 135 innings with the Rays, over a strikeout per inning, a 2.46 ERA, a 1.07 WHIP, and there's just so much to like. That strikeout or that walk rate was just 5.6%. The xERA was low threes as well. Getting into the actual pitch mix, he's pretty much equal, more or less, fastball, changeup, slider guy. And the changeup and the slider both had a PLA, which is basically the ERA value, true ERA value of that pitch. The changeup and the slider were both a 3.23. So, you know, at a pitch-by-pitch basis, regardless of what the hitter did, what we saw is that he's, you know, for the most part, a low threes guy. I think when you look at the fact that the changeup has a 23% swing strike rate, league average being 13%, like that is an elite changeup. The slider, for being as good as it was, just a 10% swing strike rate. So that could even get better. He locates the fastball high. It's just kind of a, you know, more or less a show me pitch to set up his off speed and breaking stuff. But I think with Glass now shelved for 6-8 weeks, you know, the Rays are probably going to look at Springs and hope to get 150 out of him. So if they do, I think we could see 160 plus strikeouts with elite ratios, and he's going at an ADP of 172. So I like Springs a lot. I think as an SP 4 or 5, you're doing really well if you have Springs kind of rounding out your rotation.
The Rays are just so good with these changeup guys. It's just so funny looking at Springs. You know, on Savant, they have that the graph of just, you know, pitch usage. And you just see the changeup just like shoot up last year. It's like, oh, that's why he did good. I think that Springs is a great pick. I like Drew Rasmussen too. Like basically any one of these guys, like the Rays just know how to get the most out of it. So, and it leads to a lot of these value guys because, yeah, they do limit their innings, but I think that does lead to draft day value, right? Like, you're fine if you get 150 innings from Springs again. You know, you can totally make up that elsewhere, and, you know, sign me up for, you know, it might not be a 2.46 ERA like it was last year in 135 innings, but, hey, anything within, like, a run of that is really good.
Well, and he's 30 years old, but you're talking about a guy who has 265 innings on his, you know, mileage since he's been in the majors. So, like, being a reliever before this, you know, 30 innings a season, like, that's kind of rested the arm a little bit. So I'm hoping there's some durability with that 150. So, yeah, I like Springs. I think he's a really, really sound way to round out the rotation. But let's move into the 200 pick range and beyond. We'll do after 200, after 300, but we'll get into those after our second ad break, and we'll be right back. Okay, so Steve, the pendulum is back on you. I know we've kind of thrown out some hitters, some batters. Where are you going on this one?
This one is more of a gut and just like, I know the last year was really bad, and who knows, but I like Jesse Winker this year. I think it's a, I liked him going into last year. I know that there probably wasn't the smartest decision with him going from Cincinnati to Seattle. Yeah. But he is now back in a hitter-friendly environment in Milwaukee. You know, Saras on Rates and Barrels mentioned that he spoke with Winker, and he was like, yeah, I don't want to make excuses, man, but I was hurt all year last year. So he now has an offseason to get right and should be fully healthy. And if he's anything close to what he was in 2021, like, you know, he was kind of like the riser, right, up draft boards, you know, around pick 100 after he finally put it all together and was able to hold his own against lefties and have that massive season like he did in 2021. And the Statcast page was bright red, and all the PLV numbers were well above average, and he just looked like a sound hitter, and then it all just fell apart too. And then more of the soft analysis too, he basically said that, like, I didn't fit in on this Seattle team. Like, they were a young team that all these prospects came up and hit at the same time, and they all knew each other, and he was this guy that was brought in that was just like an outsider, and like was like, yeah, I was playing hurt, I didn't fit in with this team, and now it's just a fresh start with a team that, you know, does well with these sort of players, right? Like, look what they got out of Hunter Renfro last year. You know, Winker's eye was still there. His chase rate was still elite. His walk rate was still really, really good. Didn't strike out that much. And sure, the exit velocities and max EVs and hard hit percentages were all down. But if you could write that off to injured, then, you know, The 13.5% barrel rate from 2020 and the 11.2% barrel rate are, you know, larger samples, and you know, maybe we could regress back closer to that from the 7.6% that he put up last year when he was hurt. I mean, he's still just 29 years old, has that great plate discipline that when you pair it with the good bat-to-ball skills and power skills, it comes together nicely for Winker. So in that ballpark, with a fresh start and hopefully health, I think Winker can be a great value. It's kind of just like the whole draft community has just written him off. He's now going, you know, I think at pick like 250 around there.
Yeah, 246.
246. So, yeah, I'm, and like we said about outfield, like, sign me up with Winker as my outfield four or five, right? Like, that is a great upside pick that could provide a lot of value.
Yeah, it's a really good call. I think, you know, we have moved on a little bit too quick. I mean, that said, you know, there's reasons why he's down there with, like, you know, he's probably going to be a platoon with his splits. I mean, hits righties really well, but lefties has always been kind of a little bit of a struggle. So I think they have him set to platoon there. But the clubhouse wise, you know, I heard an interview where Yelich was talking about the excitement of like some veterans. And he mentioned Jesse Winker by name and how, you know, there were good vibes there. So maybe that's on the soft analysis side, a plus. One thing, and maybe it's Cardinal bias, but I do feel like the Brewers have let me down on developing hitters compared to their pitchers, just because, you know, I think Renfro had an even better year with the Red Sox. I remember years back, everyone was gassed up about Travis Shaw. They completely squandered that one. I guess Rowdy Tellez, they got some good production out of him.
Willie Adames, too. I mean, Christian Yelich had MVP years when he came over there. So
for sure, Yelich, that one's that's a while
back.
Adames is a good call. Yeah. But like Keston Hiura, we were all excited about. Mm-hmm. Like, it's just,
yeah.
Maybe I'm holding them to a higher standard because of what they've done with pitching, and it feels like with pitching that good, why are they not, you know, winning the NL Central usually? And it's, to me, comes back to like run production and everything. But maybe Winker, you know, being the NL Central guy in the past, and just playing within that role. I'm curious. I don't know off the top of my head where he's slated to hit.
He's currently fifth on roster resource. But one thing that I will say about the platoon risk, like, it's the Brewers. They're penny pitching where they can. Like, if Winker is able to, you know, just keep his head above water against lefties, like, true, they're going to start him. The bench right now is Victor Caratini, Mike Brousseau, Keston Hiura, and Tyler Nyquin. Like, yeah, Brousseau might be
hopefully Sal Frelick soon. Hopefully,
yeah, Sal Frelick too. Yes. They got some guys coming up. So, but it's not like Murderer's Row or just this amazing hitter waiting to take his job. Like, the at bats were there for Winker for the taking if he performs.
That's a good point. And he wasn't dreadful last year against lefties. He had been the years before, yes, but last year he actually hit for a better average against lefties, a .244 average. You know, and some pop. So that's a good point, Steve. I mean, if he is producing there, maybe we're writing that off a little bit too quickly on him being a platoon guy on a permanent basis. So, yeah, that's fair. And I like Winker, especially with the outfield landscape. That's a great call. Another guy I've talked about that I'm still excited about, and I think he's another one who's moved up about 20 picks in recent months, but it's Andrew Heaney at pick 217. I thought about Hunter Brown, but I kind of looked at this as, you know, Heaney, we just saw it. And I think if there's innings concerns with Heaney, I think it's something that you can backfill if you have an IL slot, at least. It's like what we used to do with Rich Hill back in the day. But, you know, the Rangers have a lot of good momentum going on with their pitching staff right now. Eovaldi, obviously DeGrom, but Heaney's right at the heart of that. And he's working on integrating his changeup a lot more this season. There was an article, he always laughs about kind of his preseason guy. He says he's one of the worst spring training pitchers there is, but he really took a lot of good things from his last outing with the changeup. So I think, you know, when you look at Heaney at pick 217, the easiest way to see why this is such a value is just how elite he was when he was with the Dodgers last year with a 35% K rate and a 6% walk rate. Like, even if there's some regression there, you know, he's had a home run bugaboo in the past. If you, even if you make him a, you know, mid high three ERA guy, you're still getting that swing and miss stuff with a good club with the Rangers that he should have some run support as well. You know, the sweeper that he introduced last year was, you know, elite. The fastball had the fifth highest CSW among the league in fastballs. So I just really like it for Heaney. And I feel like deep down, I would consider Heaney if he was ADP 170, 175. But the fact that it's 217, I still really like this. And I think I'll definitely have some shares. There's volatility there that I don't want him on every single roster. But I think Heaney has proven that he has the stuff that a lot of pitchers around him, you're kind of hoping and speculating and saying if they do this or if they do that, where we just saw it from Heaney. He just has to stay healthy and keep doing it.
Yeah, and the Rangers have had a lot of success with veteran pitchers. We saw it just recently last year with John Gray. You know, they're good with this type of profile. You know, Gray battled some of his own injuries in the past too, and I know that there was an IL stint or two last year, but he was relatively healthy. So maybe Texas is able to figure that out. So I like Bruce Bochy.
You got Bruce Bochy.
Yeah, exactly. The stuff has never really been a question. I mean, it kind of was fully unlocked last year by the Dodgers. Who would have thunk that the Dodgers did that? So if he's able to stay healthy, that's great. And it's like, you know, it's starting to become where the pick where it only is value, right? Because you could kind of just move on from Heaney at that pick too. I think it's just the market is just so concerned, and rightfully so, about the health, that there really is not much downside with this pick. And I think, yeah, it could be a great value pick.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that, because that was another reason why I kind of chose him over Hunter Brown is, mm-hmm. With Heaney, if it goes wrong, I think you're moving on with more confidence. Mm-hmm. But I think with like Hunter Brown, it's going to be, it could be Aaron Ashby all over again, mm-hmm. where it's like the hipster, the headache-inducing starting pitcher that stifles the entire roster. Like, that could be Hunter Brown for 2-3 months, and we'd mm-hmm. all be like, oh man, we fell into this trap with Ashby. Heaney, if he gets injured, you move on. If, you know, he's getting clobbered like the old days, you move on. But I think if it works out, you're talking about a guy who's going to be like a top 30 SP when he's on the field. So, yeah, I think it's well worth the value. So let's move to beyond pick 300, Steve. We're getting deep here, but these ones are kind of the most fun and tend to have the most movement up and down draft boards as well. So start us out with your ADP value that you like past pick 300.
Yeah, I still wanted to put Andrew Painter here, despite us having to put in a post-recorded clip about the injury last week, and we still don't, shockingly, don't even know yet. His ADP right now is at 299, so there was a lot of helium in recent months. I know that I think you probably drafted him in TGFBI ahead of that. But, you know, in the recent days, he's been picked 300, 350, 390, just because it's like, all right, I'm just taking a shot on injury news, and I'll be okay. But there was a news announced, I think, today that he is most likely avoiding surgery, which is great news, but he will have to take some time off from throwing, which, hey, at this point now it's like, okay, maybe we can expect Painter at the All-Star break or something like that. But this also goes to tell me that, like, hey, this guy was going to make the rotation pretty much out of spring as a 19-year-old, because it's just this injury that's holding him back. So maybe now they're just limited injuries as they normally would with a young starting pitcher, but this stuff just speaks for itself. Like, even when he did pitch in spring training, he was touching 99, just, you know, wowing like Carlos Correa and things like that. So, it's still more of just you know, a coin flip and hope you get lucky with the injury news. But I just still don't see how Painter's is going to be in a value, and that maybe that will be laughing about this injury scare as his ADP is suppressed by this after was starting to get all that momentum as we were heading into the middle of the spring. Like, right, like his he was going to be like a pick 200 pitcher. Like, he was going to be around there. That's where it was headed before this injury news.
Yeah, I think it's providing a discount. He's one that, like, you know, when we get to the crunch time of drafts, it's like, check Twitter, check the late. Like, if the round turns to your pick before you make another selection, see if there's an injury update on Andrew Painter. Because if it's remotely good news, yeah, this is basically Grayson Rodriguez that you can get 100, 150 picks later with a better ball club to set him up for wins potential. So, man, it would just be a much more fun spring if we have Andrew Painter in it. So, yeah, that's hard to argue with there, Steve. My last two, I'm kind of cheating as well because I'm doing two instead of one, and I can't help myself. But the one that's going to be shorter is I got to talk about Brendan Donovan again. I did last week. If you missed the show, basically
hit another homer today.
That's what I'm talking about, man. Right now, Brendan Donovan, he had a swing stance change. If you look at the side by side photos, completely different. He added like 10 pounds of muscle in the off season. He has a more upright swing. And this is a guy who had like 90th percentile strikeout rate and walk rate, like phenomenal plate discipline, like a 280 hitter. Right now, in 8 games, he has 3 home runs and 9 RBIs. And this is just how it happens sometimes for the Cardinals' devil magic. And, like, until he slows down in spring training, I am continuing to say that, like, something could be happening here with Brendan Donovan while everyone else is talking about Jordan Walker and Lars Nootbaar. Like, this could be legit. So, like, the narrative should follow the spring training hype, and there is a clear narrative with, you know, the work on the body, the work on the batting stance, and we're seeing instant results right now. So, I mean, Donovan throughout the minors never really had the pop either, but some people, you know, it kind of unlocks, and he has ran in the past as well. So with the bigger bases, you know, if this kind of works out, it could be, oh, man, this is bold. This is ahead of the industry, but this could be 280 average, 20 homers, 10 steals, and you're getting him at pick 300. So I like Donovan. I think they're going to make him that super util who might play as much as Lars Nootbaar, like 4 out of 5 games. So really like Donovan. But the one that I wanted to truly focus on was Oscar Colas. And this is a guy, Steve, we got in our Dynasty League. We were pumped up about the news from the manager that he'll get the chance to win the outfield job over Gavin Sheets. His ADP, I'm kind of cheating a little bit because it's 297, but it was 480 a month ago. So he has jumped almost 200 spots. A lot of that was from the report that he's going to get a chance to win the role. And this, you know, White Sox phenom, all of the players are like buzzing about how he is the real deal and he looks like a machine. Last year in all levels in 2022, he had 23 homers in just 117 games and hit over 300. Right now in spring training, he is also on fire. So Colas, let me pull it up. Colas is hitting 391 right now. So if they're saying he has a shot and he's, you know, practically batting 400 in spring training, he's taking his chance. So, yeah, ATC has his projections at 74 games, so pretty much a half a season with 11 homers, 3 steals, and an average of 250. But I think we might be talking about a guy whose batting average could be closer to, like, splitting the difference on 300 and 250. Yeah, just super exciting, very toolsy. I think this could be a steal at pick 300 for Colas.
This is one of those things where, like, all the projection systems are, like, hedging their bet and projecting him for, like, 98 to 115 games. But all of those systems have him for around, like, 12 to 15 homers. But he's either going to win the job and play, you know, close to 150 or, you know, or not. And it looks like he's going to win the job. So then you know, prorate that, and you're around a 20 homer hitter that could hit, you know, 275, that maybe has some power upside, like, yeah, I'm all about it. And the buzz around him and how he's faring in spring training is just exciting. You know, he's 24 years old already. Like, you know, he's not the typical young prospect that has to come up and adjust, right? Like, I believe he played professionally in Cuba too. So, it's slightly different than like your normal prospect, you know, route. He played in the in Japan in the NPB, which is pretty cool and interesting. Yeah. He is Cuban though, but played over in Japan. So exciting stuff. I think he was a two-way player too at one point, but he's not going to pitch. But hey, maybe he will as a
he's got a cannon.
Yeah, maybe he will as a position now. Player and actually be like a. Formidable pitcher, which would be funny.
One other thing on Kolas is his projections have him at like a 27% K rate, and it was kind of high last year. But so far in the preseason, across 23 at bats, which by the way is the second highest for the White Sox, so they're definitely getting a long look at him.
Yep.
He has one strikeout in 23 at bats, so that plate discipline is something you should watch closer in spring training and. It looks good right now for Kolas, so I'm interested. I will have some shares in the deeper leagues for sure, and we already got a share, Steve, so that's great. But yeah, Donovan and Kolas, super deep ones that I think you know could be rising fast in the near future. But that wraps us up, Steve. I think you know we've talked about it enough that we really got to pull the trigger on getting our team best ball in on NFBC. Let's just do it like this week, man.
Let's do it this week. I know we got another show to do here, but let's fire one up. We'll do a best ball, and then we could talk about that. Maybe we do it. We could do it like, and then talk about it on the show right there after, which would be fun.
Yeah, love it, and. Yeah, we'll be here, you guys, every Thursday from here through the season. So we're back on the weekly plan, which is great. And, yeah, if you guys stayed with us this long, appreciate you listening. And, again, the shameless plug, go out, give us a vote on the baseball pods bracket. Let's make a little noise out there. It's March, baby. So that wraps us up for episode 90. As always, you guys can follow us on Twitter at WinsAbovePod. I'm at Van_verified, and Steve is at Stav8818. Rounds us out. We'll talk to you next Thursday, but thanks for talking baseball with us, guys.
Thanks, guys. Later.